You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
On Wednesday this week, Lillian Hanley spoke to Minister for Children, Tracy Martin, about new allegations made in a newsroom article regarding workplace culture in the Oranga Tamariki Agency. A number of claims were made in this discussion, particularly one implying this was a personal attack against the CEO of Oranga Tamariki, Graham Moss. Lillian wanted to address some of these and has reached out to a few people. Firstly, Kylie Quince is an Associate Professor at Auckland University of Technology's School of Law. Lillian asked Kylie for her thoughts on this response from the Minister.
I listened to the entire interview, and I'm not sure if you're familiar with the term Chewbacca defence, which comes from an episode of South Park from 1998, which is a parody of the defence strategy in the O.J. Simpson trial, which is when you don't have a defence, you pivot to nonsense. So you bluster and talk about, you know, you pivot to something that's just a distraction to the jury. And to me, I mean, so the idea there is that clearly, Minister Martin was trying to wrong foot you just by not answering the question. She pretty much exposed her own, I mean, I'm just going to use the phrase, white fragility. She was racist in response to allegations of racism. So she was incredibly defensive and really just didn't answer the questions.
Okay. And in terms of, so if we unpack this a little bit more, because there was, I made a statement around the discrepancy or the disproportionate numbers, I suppose, in that there are 20% of Māori staff in senior roles and there are 70% of children in care are Māori. So in terms of actually having people or staff that are able to respond to this, she then implied that I was being racist for saying that Pākehā people couldn't do this. Would you be able to unpack that a bit?
Yeah, so I think that this is, I mean, this is a classic, this is classic white fragility in action here, and it's essentially saying that I don't see race, it doesn't matter what colour your social workers are you telling me that Pākehā or non-Māori social workers cannot provide good service for Māori whānau? Well, if she wants a, she's assuming that that is a rhetorical question. If she wants a blunt answer to that, the answer is they cannot provide the best service. So does it matter whether you have Māori social workers dealing with Māori whānau? Yes, it does. Māori whānau and communities have been telling us this for a long time, well before the ministry was renamed Oranga Tamariki, even before it was called Children, Young Persons and Their Family Service. So it does matter. So the fear and defensiveness of the minister was very much exposed. It fails to appreciate, she fails to appreciate the nature of racism and the connection that it has to power. Also, the ability of the, I mean, one of the issues that, of course, the newsroom investigation is attempting to show is that the ministry is headed by a CE who has potentially problematic employment background, but that she heads up 10 deputy chief executives who are not by and large, not social work trained, not Māori. And so they're making a claim, an assertion about the cultural competence and appropriateness of the agency. And I think it's a one that the minister should answer directly. Now, I think it was a pretty disappointing pivot from the minister. She's also, I think, pretty disingenuous in relation to the claims about the sources being anonymous within the ministry. She knows, of course, that not only was the point made by Melanie Reid herself yesterday that, of course, employees are subject to potential retaliation, but Minister Martin also knows that there are whistleblower protections in New Zealand. So the Protected Disclosures Act allows employees to report wrongdoing anonymously in their workplaces. If that conduct is about risk to public health, maintenance of the law, or gross public negligence or mismanagement by public officials. And that's exactly what these people are doing. They're saying that as social workers or as regional managers, that they are being removed from files when their decisions do not ally with the direction that the department wants them to go.
Yeah, in terms of natural justice then, I didn't even know where that came from. What could you explain natural justice?
Yes, so that's the point that I was just addressing. So Minister Martin was trying to make a point that she's essentially punching fog when she can't address what she is really framing as unsubstantiated allegations by anonymous sources within the Oranga Tamariki organisation. And my response to that, so she's saying that because it's unsubstantiated, because they're anonymous sources, that the CE, Gráinne Moss, therefore is unable to respond to unknown persons making allegations. And my response to that is that those employees are protected by law from having their anonymity exposed. And Minister Martin would know that well. Whistleblowing exists as a constitutional convention in our legal and political system.
Right.
That's how it works. That part of the one of the checks and balances in a Westminster-style democracy that we have is that people are able to make protected disclosures when things are not working properly within their institution. She knows that very well.
And surely this is also then a question of power, because there was this sort of argument made that the CE's dignity was being affected and all of this sort of thing. So where does that put all of these people who have gone on the line to complain, and then also the children actually that are being affected?
Yes, and I heard you make both of those points very well. So she's trying to isolate this in terms of the, as you say, the dignity of the CE as an individual, and as you say, the dignity and mana, if you like, of the children who are at the really harsh end of the policies and practices and uplift procedures that have been highlighted by Newsroom over the past year. They also deserve to have their mana and dignity upheld in these processes. So it's a bit, as I say, I think that's quite disingenuous for the minister to make this, really to frame this as a personal attack on Moss, when really the picture that's been painted is that this is an organisation that is desperate need of really fundamental and structural overhaul and that starts from the top and goes right down to the operation in terms of social workers on the ground. She also made a completely, I think, quite ludicrous claim, which also exposed her lack of understanding of the nuances of power when she said that everybody in the organisation has my email. Now, in an organisation as large as that, and in relation to a minister who has other portfolios, I find it incredibly, disingenuous or underhanded to suggest that a social worker on the ground is going to email the minister directly when that bypasses, probably three or four lines of reporting and seniority. And again, as I said, that's what whistleblowing protections are for. Most employees do not go directly to the chief executive of a company where there are thousands of people in that company.
Something else I wanted to touch on when we talked about the disproportionate numbers, because she did concede, obviously, that the contrast in numbers is stark and that it is a problem, but then she sort of alluded to
the racism about the education system.
She's saying is systemic racism in the education system, so she's willing to acknowledge that.
Well, that was, again, frankly, appalling for a minister to then hospital pass the fact that the numbers of social workers who happen to be Māori in Aotearoa somehow reflect the under-education and poor achievement of Māori in schools. That was incredibly offensive. If you can't point to the fact that there are... The big question for Māori, of course, is why would you want to work for Oranga Tamariki? So you're assuming that there are people that have that pathway in their sights and are unable to achieve that because of their own inability to get there, to get themselves together. Again, that fails to appreciate the structural racism that has existed in the New Zealand education system for over 100 years, since we had native schooling, which was both racialised and gendered. I thought that was an incredibly odd allegation to make, and again, just a form of diversion from the core issue here, which is the culture, practice and leadership of the ministry in which she is the head, and she bears ultimate ministerial responsibility for.
Kylie added at the end of this discussion that the minister's questioning of the integrity of the investigation itself is, quote, a little bit on the nose, given the original documentary that started this investigation actually won the Story of the Year award at the Voyagers. Subsequently, Newsroom has taken to court for this story, but Newsroom wasn't actually successful in court. Next, we have Meripeka Raukawa Tait, who is chair of the Whānau Order Commissioning Agency. Meripeka Raukawa Tait, along with other prominent figures such as Dame Tariana Turia and Dame Iritana Whaiwhirirangi, have called for the resignation of both the Children's Minister and the CEO of Oranga Tamariki. Lillian spoke to her and asked her why they are calling for resignation.
Well, we were alarmed earlier this week when we saw some information coming through on the media around the culture of the organisation, staff speaking out around Oranga Tamariki, and more importantly, the behaviour, the so-called behaviour of the CEO. And we were very concerned. Obviously, our concern has been for the children that are being uplifted and taken into the care of Oranga Tamariki. We want that to stop. We've had a report out on that. Indeed, there have been numerous reports on the uplifting of children and what happens in the trauma. But then we see that there is some internal, and actually quite significant, internal, stuff going on within Oranga Tamariki that really concerned us as well. And it was around behaviour of the CEO, also the conduct of senior staff within that, and very concerning when you've got former staff and current staff working within the organisation right now who really should be focused on the care of children, and they're actually going public on what they think of the organisation, the organisational culture, and particularly the behaviour of the CEO.
One of the points that was in the article, and it's not a new point, is the sort of statistic around how many Māori staff are in the agency, and then the kind of the discrepancy in terms of, or the disproportionate number that is compared to the number of Māori children in care. So when I put that to the minister, she said, then asked me if what I was implying was that Pākehā do not care about Māori children, and that it was racism to imply then, or to assume that Pākehā are not able to do that. So why is it important to have Māori in that agency?
Well, when you've got 70% of the children in state care, and you've got and that state care has been overseen by the CEO and then the minister, when 70% of the children are Māori, then you're going to be dealing with Māori families. Now, this is where having Māori on staff is critical to the success of a good outcome for the child and for the family. Māori, no Māori. There's no doubt about that. They have to be non-judgmental. They know the environment in which Māori families are living. Many of them are struggling every day just to survive. They know that. And they know that not all is well in households where you are struggling to cope. We know that. And so that so often the children are on the receiving end. So if you want to make sure that you're going to have a good outcome for that child, then you have to know the families well. You have to be able to relate to the families. And that's where Māori, having Māori on staff can make a difference. But believe me, just having Māori on, upping the numbers of Māori on staff won't make a significant difference if the culture is stuffed, if the culture is not conducive to the well-being of the children and having respect for the families that you're going to be interacting with. So, you know, this is really serious. This isn't just an employment issue, because I believe what you're seeing is, because how we know our families and particularly the children are handled when they come into state care, into the care of Oranga Tamariki, then I think some of that behaviour that we're seeing is actually mirroring bad behaviour that's going on within the culture of the organisation. And so this, I believe, is a very serious issue.
Hmm. So when you say, or when you call for their resignation, what would you like to see happen? What's the next steps?
I think that the minister does have a responsibility to look at this. Merely because, you know, so many of these of the people who shared their stories, who are staff, who have left the organisation and current staff, when they actually go to the media and say something is wrong, and we're going to give you examples, then the minister, I believe, it behoves the minister to actually have a look and say, I'm going to have a look, I'm going to have a sit down and I'm going to have a talk to the CEO. I want to have a talk to her, to the State Services Commission, because she didn't appoint herself. The CEO didn't appoint herself. That was done by the State Services Commission. And when you're a senior executive within the public service, then the State Services Commission is there to assist you and help you. And I think they need to sit down and say, what's going on here? Because You've got significant Māori leaders who are saying, we don't like this, we don't like your current practices. And now you've got staff saying the practices are not good. The practices are unsafe for us as staff members. The culture is not conducive to the well-being of the children that come into care, but also it's not conducive to us being able to do our job well. There are too many people who have come forward in this investigation who've been prepared to share. And that leads us to think all is not well and we want something done. And if it's the removal of the CEO, so be it.
Well, when I've put to the Minister before, in terms of calls for across the board, in terms of actually saying put Māori children into Māori hands, so what does that look like if we were to, I think the Māori Party is now calling too for the resignation, but also the disestablishing of this agency as it stands. So what would stand in its place?
Well, first of all, Māori children should not be going into state care. Let's put it like that. Actually, I don't believe that any children, Māori or others, should be going into state care. The first point, that you want a home environment where those children can understand that this is what a loving home looks like. This is what a loving home where people talk to each other, where it's warm and it's safe. Many of those children going into state care are not coming from homes like that. But what we have to do is to say, who's related to this child? Who's the whānau of this baby, of this mokapuna, of these tamariki? Who is the whānau? And in the immediate whānau, do we have somebody there that will put their hand up and say, my home is safe. My home is safe for that baby. They are our responsibility. Bring that baby to us. Let's work together and make sure that not only do we care for the baby, but we want to make sure that the home that the baby's coming from, that there is some support put in there. If there's behaviour change there, let's make it there. Those children are loved, but I know the homes that some of those children come from, and those parents and those families are struggling. So if it's not the immediate family, look at the wider family. Look at the hapū. We all have, the collective has a responsibility to that individual child. And if the family is in trouble, then let's make sure that we can do something rather than having that child uplifted, going into state care, and that's when further abuse happens. We know that, and that has to be avoided. So we don't want children going into state care, but we want family supported and we want Māori providers, community, whānau ora navigators, kai mahi, to get in there and provide the support that's necessary. It shouldn't come from a government department. So that's the first thing. And we want people who actually the whānau will respect. I know not one person in this country who will pick up the phone and say, ring Oranga Tamariki and say, I'm in crisis, I need help. People will not do that. They have no respect and no trust in that organisation. So we've got to do something else.
That was Lillian Hanley speaking to Kylie Quince and Meripeka Rau Kawatate.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.